True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
What's a damn good thing I'm a young, healthy man? Because coaching the nicest team in the league is tough. We just love spotting 15, 17 points to the other team, then come back and beat them. It was a crazy game. I felt at halftime, once we got it back to a score, we were in good shape. Unlike you probably thought I was hollering and cussing, I didn't have to because some veterans did that for me. And it didn't all go great in the second half, but we were able to stick together, make a turnover, get a good pressure on a field goal to miss and go down, score, and win the game. And you know, the resiliency of this team is growing on me. At three in a row, and that's a good football team, missing some guys, but we made a couple of those receivers look like Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. And it looks like it wasn't our best, but we won. That's nice.
Yeah, Big Nasty, Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother!
When you hear the sound of the trumpet, we'll be saying, here we come. Yeah, here we come. Hey, here we come.
Check our help, man. We're going to kick any bull.
You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Welcome back, Bucks fans, to another edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Coming back at you today for episode number 89. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hold on in a comeback victory, quite frankly, in a game that for 3.5 quarters I did not think we were going to win. The final score of that football game, 38-35, as the Buccaneers improve their record to 6-7 on the season. And win their third straight game. We've been doing this show for a little while, like 2.5 seasons, headed into 3. And this is the first time ever on the Cannon Fire Podcast that we've actually been able to talk about a Buccaneers win streak. Because it's not a win streak until you win 3 games. So, of course, the Buccaneers stacked 2 in a row. This was the big third game on that list, and they went out there and showed us the definition of resiliency to come away with a win, and it feels damn good. If you're new around here, I am your host, as always, Red Matthew. Joined alongside me is my good buddy and co-host, Mr. Bucks Football, Evan Wanish. Evan, how you feeling on this victory Monday, man? Third one in a row.
Yeah, just like I post on the page, you know, like with the Will Ferrell voice, you know, we're going streaking. Is just like you said, you know, it's not a win streak until you win 3 in a row. 2 games, that's just back-to-back. 3 games, that's a win streak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean, the word you said, resiliency, couldn't have been a better word, because there was just so many things that went wrong in this game that in the past it would have been ugly and turned out to be a win. And this type of game, the Buccaneers don't typically win. Like when the Colts went up 35-21, that's that, like, over.
Yeah.
Colts went up 35-21, Buccaneers end up winning 38-35. Like that does not happen. They scored 17 unanswered points. That typically does not happen.
Yeah, you said, you pretty much summed it up. The Bucs of yesterday do not go out there and win this game. They were down 35-21 at one point. There were a lot of different deficits in the game. I mean, early on in the first quarter, you're already 10-0.
Before you blinked.
Some costly turnovers. And of course, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But at the end of the day, Buccaneers hold on and win 38-35. Overall, not a sloppy game. Definitely not perfect by any means.
Not boring.
Not boring. I'll give you that. But a bit of an interesting game. But of course, we're going to break all of that down for you here today on episode 89. So on all the reaction shows, we open up the show with something called the stats recap. And basically what this is 4, 5, or 6 stat lines that really jumped out to me during the game. And we'll break those players down and their performances as well. So let's open up the stats recap with number 3, our quarterback, Jameis Winston, just like we do every week. Very, very interesting game for Jameis. You just got to come out and say it. He is the, of course, talk of the town once again after a career-high day. But, again, just the definition of a Jameis Winston game, if we really have to give it one. So, his stat line for the day. 33 for 45, 456 yards, a career high, 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, and 3 interceptions. Now, before we even jump into it, right? Before, I know you're laughing, you're chomping at the bit, ready to talk about this, but before we even jump into it, games like this are why I want the Bucs to sign Jameis Winston to a 1-year franchise tag. I know we've talked about it for weeks. We've brought it up. We've preached it over and over again that it's probably going to be a franchise tag if there's a deal made. It's the 1-year kind of look and evaluate, see what you have. But he is on pace to lead the NFL in passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. And I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not an NFL historian, but I don't think that's ever been done before, Evan.
I'm not sure. I'm not a historian either. I do know now, I finally figured this out, that the record for interceptions in a season, Jameis Winston will not be breaking that record this year, because the record is George Blanda in 1965 when he threw 42 interceptions.
Oh,
so,
love it.
I don't think, I'd bet a good amount of money that's not going to happen. I don't know how that's even possible, but I really don't. Like, I think you played less games in 1965 too. Like, how is that possible? I don't get it. Just think, 1965, you were still running the ball a bunch too. Oh man.
Yeah, right.
George Blanda, what happened, buddy? But anyways, just like when you read that stat line, that is a Jameis Winston game. He's Brett Favre. I've said it on the show. I said it on a Twitter account yesterday. Got a ton of likes. He is. I'm not talking, and everybody, some people were like, oh, no, he's not Brett Favre, this and that. I'm not talking about talent. I'm talking about just play style. Just the risk that you take and just the resiliency to come back and bounce back. A lot of people are saying, oh, no, he's Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, when Jay Cutler would make a mistake, he continued to make the same mistake and same mistake and same mistake. With Winston, he'll come back from an interception and then throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, exactly. He came out, had early turnovers in the game, and then what does he go out and do after that? Scores 2 touchdowns before the half is over.
Yeah. And, and the thing I keep – did you see – it's going around Twitter, the little clip – of, I forget who tweeted it out. It was a verified account. It was like an NFL reporter or something. The clip of from The Office where it's like James Winston and his agent meeting with teams this offseason, and it's Will Ferrell and Andy Bernard, Ed Helms' character. And Will Ferrell's like, this could be the worst decision in your life, but it could be the best decision in your life.
You ever played Russian roulette?
Yeah,
time to spin the chamber, Boris, by signing up for another year.
Titus in the chamber. Play rock and roll. Oh my god, that's perfect. And it's a perfect like summary too, right? You ever play Russian roulette? You know, you don't. Oh man, that's great. Oh man,
Jameis Winston.
I saw that today. I was like, Jesus.
Jameis Winston really is the definition of an enigma, because we just said this guy is on pace to lead the NFL in passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. Now, he does have to catch up to Lamar Jackson. I believe he's two touchdowns behind. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, he's just a scoring machine.
MVP.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens there. But the fact that this guy is able to be this productive in good ways and bad ways, we talk about it every single week. I know Bucks fans at this point are tired of hearing about it, and they're well aware. But I have to leave now. Like, I've kind of made my decision. Bucks got to put him on a one-year franchise tag, see what he does. And I think he can improve next year. Again, the interceptions, something that I don't think is going to go away. But I don't think he's also going to throw 24 interceptions next year.
You exactly. Know what I mean? Right now he's at 23. I don't think he's throwing 23 picks next year.
Yeah.
I would franchise tag him as well. I've pretty much come to that decision. I think that's the best thing for them to do. I think it's probably the safest thing. Because if you let him go, I mean, you're basically saying that Bruce Arians isn't here to win now. And, you know, what do you got to do? Let him go and get Cam Newton? Like, sure. I still think Cam Newton is good. Like, I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but I don't think Carolina lets him go. And why would Carolina trade in division? And that's just a pipe dream, right?
Right. And I hate Cam Newton too much to ever accept him being under center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially all the stupid victory formation dances he's done all us over the years. Can't have that.
Well, it'd be better if it was on your side, but I'm sure you'd hate it a lot less. But then let's say you don't get Newton. Okay, he's crossed off. What are your options? Case Keenum? You're not winning with Case Keenum. Andy Dalton? You might win a little bit more with Andy Dalton than Case Keenum, but are you going to win more with Andy Dalton than with Jameis Winston? No.
Oh, well, you know what the way the NFL media is. If the Bucs ever come out and announce that they're moving on from Jameis Winston, you know who's going to be the top target for Tampa Bay by default? Because, of course, the rumors are still swirling around that he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You know who's going to be the number one rumored quarterback to come to Tampa? Just take a wild guess.
A wild? Free agent?
Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I see it happening. Every single time there's a top-name talent. You remember Le'Veon Bell? Top target is Tampa. Antonio Brown? Top target is Tampa.
Yeah, well, they don't know. Well,
exactly.
But I mean, it would be more clear, though, if they moved on from Winston, right?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be more clear to pin Brady to Tampa if they move on. I'm just saying, obviously, it's not going to happen. I think he either retires or stays in New England. And I think the Bucs keep Winston, so really shouldn't even be having this conversation. But with the Brown and Bell thing, like, the Bucs had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. At the time, still, I believe, DeSean Jackson, Adam Humphries. And you're linking him to Antonio Brown. Not smart.
Right.
No, right? And with Le'Veon Bell, the Bucs had $7 million in cap space. You're linking him to Le'Veon Bell. Like, yeah.
Right. Right. No, I just brought it up as a clear example of kind of like you just brought up, how the media can portray that. We talked about it last week with the whole Jameis Winston quote. Yeah. It just, again, but still, all hypothetical. But
let's say you don't want to get a free agent quarterback. Okay. You don't want to trade for one because, really, I mean, there's not many quarterbacks that are starter worthy that's going to be on the trade block.
Right.
You're going to take the time to draft one and develop one, which is basically, you know, I mean, every now and then it can happen, but like a rookie quarterback's not going to come in and, you know, light the world on fire right away.
Yeah, and I mean, you also look at the situation the Bucks are in right now. They just won 3 in a row. They're 6-7 right now in the draft. They're what, like 16th pick?
16th.
Exactly. You're not going to get a starting franchise quarterback at the 16th pick. I'm sorry, you're probably not.
Like, I mean, the best thing you could, if you're truly moving on from Winston, which obviously we both don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
The best thing you can hope for if you're sitting at 16 is that Tua somehow just falls because of the injury concerns.
Then, you know, you get a solid quarterback with the 16th pick.
Tua's good, but you're going to have to develop him. And that's going to, you know, take maybe 2 to 3 years. Does Bruce Arians and ownership and everybody want to wait 2 to 3 more years? I mean, yeah, sure, Tua might be better than Winston in the long run, but this is talking about winning now. And I think the best option for the Buccaneers to win in 2020, the best option of what you have, obviously best option would be like in a fantasy world, like Patrick Mahomes or somebody, but the best option for what the Bucs have right now is Jameis Winston. It just is. And that's why ultimately, I believe he'll be back. So
you're 100% right. So there is your stats recap for Jameis Winston. And of course, let's follow it up. One more thing about Jameis before we do move on, as people may or may not have seen, Sunday coming out of the first half, headed into the third quarter, you saw Jameis Winston take the field, and then you saw him go back in the locker room.
He got benched.
And Ryan Griffin took his first ever snap in the NFL.
Yep.
Played a series, looked pretty okay, had a few checkdowns for the two passes that he threw, right? A couple of handoffs. But, dude, that moment for me, like, I was watching the game at Johnny B's house. Shout out to our buddy Johnny B. You can listen to us every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the weekly Bucks break on 102.5 The Bone. Also, check it out on our CFP outlets. But anyways, that Johnny B., I was at his house. We were hanging out watching the game. And we saw Ryan Griffin warming up, throwing passes before commercial break. And we looked at each other and we said, did they bench Jameis Winston? The same Jameis Winston who led the team in a two-minute drill to a touchdown just a few minutes prior? We're like, no way. And then, of course, the things came out that he was getting his hand looked at. He might have been injured. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That was the case. Jameis Winston fractured his thumb and then came back and finished the game and put up a career performance at that.
In the second half is when he was dealing in that second half. There was a time when the Colts just couldn't stop him. And honestly, if you take away the turnovers, the Colts couldn't stop him all day. But
yeah. I mean, he was picking them apart. Aside from gifting them a football a few times, he was.
A lot of them.
I'd say one of them wasn't his fault.
I don't want to make. I mean, well, the ball. Were you talking about the tipped one?
Yeah.
Yeah, ball was behind Perryman though. So, but like I said, if you look closely, it looked like that ball's tipped twice. Looked like it was tipped at the line and then tipped by Perryman. But that's the three interceptions that he had. Darius Leonard is a heck of a football player. Just want to say that right now.
Yes,
I wanted to get this out of the way before I forget the point. Darius Leonard made a good read on a poor decision, not a terrible decision, in the first interception. Mm-hmm. That second interception.
That was an amazing play by Leonard.
Sometimes, you just got to give props to the other guy. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, that was a great play and you just beat me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened there. Darius Leonard fooled Jameis Winston because Darius Leonard made a great play. He faked out Jameis Winston, and Winston thought he had him, and he didn't. It happens. Like, that's what good football players do, right? And I know a lot of people are saying, his job's not to throw interceptions. Well, you know what? When a player like that is going to make a read like that and pick him off, that's going to happen, right? And it's unfortunate, but...
You put any other quarterback in that same situation of that play, Darius Leonard would get a pick 9 times out of 10. It wasn't just a Jameis Winston interception.
It was an all-out blitz. They were really – Darius Leonard was the only linebacker that didn't blitz.
And he faked the blitz, too. That's the impressive part, is that he jumped into the line faking that rush and then just bounced back in his own coverage and boom.
Well, that's what Rondae Barber did in the NFC Championship game against Philly.
Yeah.
He earlier in the game, he blitzed and got to McNabb. So then they did the same play where he faked the blitz. McNabb thought he wasn't there. Quick hitter, pick six, done. Happens a lot.
No, you're right. But a great heads-up play by Leonard there. And it happens. But overall, looking at Jameis Winston, his stats for the day, hell of a game.
Roller coaster. Jesus.
That
Christmas.
Is the Jameis Winston experience, my friend. Welcome to the ride. You must be at least 5'7".
Welcome to the ride. Welcome me to the ride?
Guess anyone who is unfamiliar, but I'm sure people listening to the show are pretty well familiar. So that is your weekly Jameis Winston update. Let's move on and wrap up the stats recap and, of course, get into this game a little bit more. Lots to talk about in this victory from Sunday. Next up on the stats recap, a guy who has really stepped it up these past few weeks. That's number 19, Breshad Perriman. His stat line for Sunday, 3 receptions, 70 yards, and a touchdown. I was wrong in wanting to get rid of this guy. I'm pretty sure you, I, and everyone else listening wanted to get rid of him before the deadline, get that fourth round compensatory pick, and the Buccaneers held on to him. And so far, these past 2 weeks, he's looked like a true wide receiver number 3. And he had a good game on Sunday.
I mean, yeah. Like, if this was the Breshad Perriman that they got in all year, we wouldn't even have been considering cutting him for a fourth-round pick.
Right.
You know, I mean, you'd be saying, wow, you know, like, well, what a free agent pickup if this was, you know, the same guy. He has been... I don't think he hasn't been the Tennessee game was bad, right? And I think people really go back to that little botched snap with Ngungu. Oh my god, if I can talk, I'm just gonna say I'm gonna say Dare, just to avoid that ever again. So with Dare, and then, you know, the 2-point conversion, he could have caught it if he kept 2 feet in, and then, you know, he had that drop touchdown against Carolina. So I think the fans just sort of got a bad taste in their mouths about him. And, like, the problem was he just wasn't making impact plays like he has been the past 2 weeks. And now, I mean, I tweeted out, I said, he's going to be back, ain't he? And he has a shot. And if he keeps playing this way, if he plays this way the next 3 games, he probably deserves to be back on some capacity.
Oh, absolutely. And what a time for a guy like him to step up as well.
Great time.
Yeah, people watching the game saw it. Mike Evans, 1 catch, 1 touchdown on the day against the Colts. But on that receiving touchdown, he kind of aggravated his hamstring. And no official injury report has been given out, but pretty sure everyone in that stadium knew it was a hamstring injury, the way the mic reacted and the things that Bruce Arians had to say after the game regarding the thing. I think it's safe to say that Mike Evans' season is over. So to have a guy like Breshad Perriman step up at a time like this, and this was kind of the next point that I was going to make after we wrap up the stats recap here, it really just goes to show that maybe they have some weapons on offense and maybe they can figure out how to use them these last few games. But we talked about Breshad Perriman. Let's wrap up the stats recap, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Mike Evans. Another wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who made it onto the stats recap, number 17, Justin Watson.
Justin Watson breakout game.
It was really good to see him have a game like this. 5 receptions, 59 yards, and 1 touchdown. It's good to see. And kind of like Breshad Perriman, what a time for this guy to step up and show his worth to this team, because we've been waiting on it for him for a few years now. And it was just good to see. So big ups to Justin Watson as well.
One thing he can't do, though, he can't return punts.
Can we
get TJ Logan healthy again, please? Because Justin Watson cannot return punts.
You know, I was excited to head it into it. I sent out a tweet. I said, I'm excited to see Justin Watson return some punts. And he ran backwards most of the time. So,
man,
yeah, it just.
I mean, he had a great day, though, right?
Yeah. Aside from special teams, he did have a good day.
With that single performance right there, he might have just earned a spot in camp next year.
I love it.
Just because of that, you know?
I love it, man. Love seeing those guys utilized to their true potential. Now, there's 2 more guys that we got to talk about on the stats recap, and then we'll jump into Mike Evans and his injury. And these 2 guys play on the defense. Not as big as a day as the defense has had these past few weeks. You kind of predicted this. You said the only sack of the day would go to Shaq Barrett. Technically, you're right. Half a sack for Shaq Barrett. And the other half went to Will Golston, I believe. But Shaq Barrett is on our stats recap. His stat line for the day, 5 tackles, 2 assists, and 0.5 sack. Now, again, it wasn't blockbuster day. It wasn't a multi-sack day for Shaq Barrett. But that pass rush showed up when it needed to in that situation where he was able to hit home and get the sack. But,
wow, they should have more sacks.
Yeah, they should have.
Brissett was avoiding everything. I don't know how he got out of some of those. But
there was that first drive of the game where both defensive linemen got there.
It was Vea and Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, and I mean, he just thread the needle and threw right between them. Like, that was inexcusable. So they should have hit home a few more times. But I think Shaq Barrett was really the silver lining on that defensive line.
Well, his run defense was stellar.
I thought it was.
You know, and the whole, obviously, you come to expect this from the Buccaneers, the run defense as a whole. But individually, you know, Shaq Barrett makes his money as a pass rusher. Going to make a lot of money this offseason from the Buccaneers or somebody else as a pass rusher. You know, not really known for his run game, but his run defense on Sunday was great. He made great tackles right away. You know, didn't really lose contain much of the time. The Colts run a lot of misdirection and stuff. Didn't really lose contain. So, yeah, he had a really nice day that, you know, obviously because he's a pass rusher, you're going to expect to see sacks. But still, had a very nice day.
Oh, yeah, that versatility is really, really good to see, especially when you talk about a guy like Shaq Barrett who is expecting a major payday. So to see that he is worth it in more ways than one is always good to see. Now let's get over to the last guy on the stats recap, the rookie, big number 45, Devin White. In his first game since being named the Defensive Rookie of the Month, Devin White made a huge splash play with 10 minutes left in the game.
Changed the game.
He forced a fumble following a Jameis Winston interception. So before then, he was fairly quiet. I mean, overall, his stat line for the day, 3 tackles, 2 assists, and 1 forced fumble. But that forced fumble couldn't have come at any better of a time. And
well, actually, it was that was before.
Before the interception?
Yeah. What had happened was they forced that fumble, and then 2 plays later, the interception happened, and the Colts ended up missing the 48-yard field goal.
Okay. All right. All right. Now the timeline's coming together for me. Either way, still a clutch
play. Still a great play.
Yeah. And the play that he made it happen as well was pure instinct. It wasn't like he just drilled the runner and he dropped the ball. I mean, the tackle was already being made, and you can look back in slow motion. You see Devin White just extend his hand and just pat the ball out because of how well his awareness was running on that play. So really heads up play by him, and something really, really good to see. This guy's been an absolute monster creating turnovers for this defense.
And I called him a superstar, so you better live up to it.
You'll love to see it, man. He's really shaping up to be that guy. I mean, he's going to the linebacker school of Levante David. I'm convinced that's why he's so damn good. You know, it just to have a guy like Levante David, and he credits himself, actually. He credits Levante David and Kevin Minter as well.
Kevin Minter's underrated. He needs to be back next year.
Oh, he is a solid, solid depth piece on this football team. We saw when Devin White was missing some action first. Early in the season, Kevin Minter came in and just stepped up and played to a really, really good level of football. So I'd like to have him return as well. But both of those guys in Devin White's ear really kind of shows you the style he's taken on. He can definitely come after the quarterback a little bit more than Levante David. But overall, he is just proving to be the next Levante David of this defense. I mean, he's doing a really good job and you love to see it. So there is the stats recap. All the big stat lines that jumped out from me on Sunday. Let's jump into this Mike Evans injury. So, it's a hamstring injury. That we know.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians said to the media that he would be shocked if Mike Evans was ready to go for Week 17. So, with that being said, I think the Bucs should just shut him down for the year. Let him get his rest in. And then let's just see how many weapons we really have on this offense and see if we can learn how to use them. Let me throw some names at you, right? Ronald Jones as a receiver. Breshad Perriman, who really showed up and had a big day on Sunday. Justin Watson, we just talked about. O.J. Howard as well.
He had a good day.
Yeah, he did. Really getting his confidence back together. 4 receptions for 73 yards for O.J. on Sunday. You love to see it. And then, of course, you got Cambry. And let's not forget the number one wide receiver for the time being, Chris Godwin. I mean, if we have to miss Mike for the rest of the season, I'm comfortable with the guys that we have. Yeah. And the way things are now, you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. We kind of knew that was coming with the Vikings victory. But let's really figure out how we can use these weapons on offense and get some of these younger guys rolling, right?
So the big thing to me is, I wonder when Scotty Miller is going to be back, because this could mean a lot of playing time for Scotty Miller as well.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden, Perriman goes to the number 2, Watson to the number 3, and Miller would end up being the 4th. So it's going to be interesting to see if Scotty Miller can come back. I hope he can. He's been sidelined. I can't remember when the last game he played was. I think it might have been that Saints game or maybe the Falcons game. So he's been sidelined a little bit.
Yep.
But he needs to come back. And I think, you know, when he comes back, there's going to be a lot more opportunities for him.
Absolutely.
Like you said, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. O.J. Howard is starting to find his stride. And he's just a really good football player.
Yeah.
Like, he just is. Like, it's just, he just is. And the only thing that's not coming right now is the touchdowns yet. But, I mean, this is two straight weeks where he's had really good days. And I think that's just, he's going to keep gaining confidence. And guess what? Detroit is not that great against tight ends. So, could be another big O.J. day on Sunday.
Absolutely. And let me kind of make a side note on this as well, because I had brought up Ronald Jones. We've talked about how he can be used as a receiving back, but let's kind of segue here and talk about the run game from Sunday. You know, we kind of hoped going into this game that it wasn't going to be a 50-50 split between him and Peyton Barber, and that's exactly what it was. I believe 13 carries for both of those guys.
I thought I read 11.
That might be correct. Actually, 11 sounds like the right number. I'm just trying
to remember. I thought I read 11, but let's put it into context here. Peyton Barber would have ended up with less carries, but the Buccaneers ran out the clock
at the
end. Peyton Barber, I believe, got three carries right at the end, or two carries right at the end that put him over the limit. So that was that. Yeah, they both had 11 carries. Ronald Jones had 11 carries for 36 yards. Peyton Barber, 11 carries for 34 yards. And Jameis Winston carried it for six times for 5 yards. So,
yeah, and most of those times he had to make a carry was when he's scrambling out of the pocket that had collapsed so quickly. Really not an impressive day by the offensive line. Yes, they only gave up one sack.
Going to hold up there, though.
Yeah, pass protect had a hold up. They had Alex Kappa, who was out. I believe for a long time in the game, you saw Josh Wells or Watford were in there for the time that Donovan Smith was out of the game. And big ups to him, by the way, for coming out of the game and then coming back and playing through it, basically. Because
I want to give a quick shout out here to this offensive line. You know, you sort of said that, you know, they didn't have the best day. Listen, first half, like, it was awful, right? Second half, I believe Winston was hit one time. They played outstanding in the second half.
Yeah,
they made great adjustments. Great game by Byron Leftwich as well. I think this was one of his better games.
Yes.
Just adjusting to what, you know, happens. You know, none of those turnovers were the play caller's fault. None of them were. You know, it's not like it was a very difficult throw. It was just, you know, none of them were the play caller's fault. It just wasn't. So none of them were on him. And the only complaint that you had was on the third and one when he just ran it right at the middle. But they got the fourth down anyway, so it was a smart play call on the fourth down.
And for a piece-together offensive line, kind of like you brought up, pass protect, they did okay. Second half, that's really where Jameis started to hit his stride and get those big yardage that piled onto an impressive stat line at the end of the day. But with the run game, really just didn't get anything going, man. It didn't seem like they had the blocking down that well. But again, we're talking about a piece-together offensive line that was already missing Alex Kappa, Donovan Smith for a little bit of the game.
Oh, yeah. Thank God Donovan Smith came back, because they might have lost this game if he had to come out for the whole game.
They even made some shifts, right? They had Ali Marpet move over to that left side of the line. Earl Wofford was in a different position
for a little bit. It was all kinds of,
Yeah.
They put in the new guy. I forget his name. It's terrible.
He's got a bunch of tattoos that I remember.
Yeah, about. Yeah. That they signed recently. They put him in for like one play, took him out, put Josh Wells in at left tackle, kept Ali Marpet at left guard. Yeah, I think for a play they moved Earl Watford. I don't know.
It was puzzle piece offensive line, but they were able to figure it out and protect Jameis just enough for him to lead us to victory. So, of course, got to give some ups to the offensive line. Hopefully get all those pieces back sooner than later, and they'll come out healthier than before. But pretty solid day overall. Now, there's a few guys that really pissed me off on Sunday.
Okay.
And there's two big names on this list. One of them is a guy that I've been complaining about for weeks. Another one is a guy that I haven't complained about at all this season. Okay. He's had maybe one other bad game. But the first guy on the list is number 44, Dare Ogunbowale. 44's got to go. Like, Ogunbowale is the team's two-minute and third down back. He's been decent. He's been okay. He's had his moments. He's had a crucial first down every now and again. But the first quarter, he coughs up the football, and that ultimately leads to the 10-0 lead early on in the first quarter. I mean, the guy is making mistakes week after week, and if we're going off of the mentality that we were against Jacksonville, where Ronald Jones misses a blitz and he gets benched for the rest of the game, I don't know why 44 is still seeing the field every single week. I don't like this guy anymore. Like, you know, he has his moments. Like I said, he's got a crucial first down run. I believe he had one on Sunday. But I'm tired of seeing him on the TV screen. I'm tired of seeing him on the field every single Sunday for the amount of mistakes that he has made, which has ultimately cost the Bucks. You know, it's inexcusable after a certain point. And I think Sunday was the line for me. I think he's got to go.
Well, personally, I think you're overreacting a little bit, but I'm gonna talk to you straight. You know, I mean, he wasn't a factor in the run game. He didn't have any runs. He did have that one fumble, but I mean, he had 5 receptions for 48 yards, including the 4th-and-1 play. He, you know, it was a great route by him. He caught the ball clean.
But any other running back in that spot, that's just a well-designed play. You put any other running back in that spot, they're making that catch.
Hopefully. Dari's probably the best pass-catching running back on the team. So, I think, you know, saying that this guy is, you know, basically cost the team, I would argue O.J. Howard's cost the team even more.
I'll say O.J. has, like, cost the team more.
O.J., Rashard Perryman. Like, there's been guys that have cost the team even more than him. I think for the role that he's in, I think, yes, you could probably see a little bit less of him, but I still think he's useful. I think he's a useful player. I do think he, you know, if you're going off that, it wasn't Dare who missed the blitz pickup. It was Peyton Barber on that one. And I remember the announcers were kind of hinting like it was Ronald Jones. And I was like, it wasn't Ronald Jones. I was like, yeah, he got benched last week because
we were watching NFL Red Zone after the game had ended over at Johnny's house. And they showed that last first down that Peyton Barber had to really seal the deal for the game. And then the announcer for Red Zone goes, "Rojo!" right up the right side in a first down. And we were like, oh, man. Like that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard, I guess. I mean, they're both, but with the numbers how they are, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes.
Apparently the guy on Red Zone who hosts Red Zone is from Tampa, too.
Andrew Siciliano, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got huge ears. It's like, looks like an elf. I'm just roasting him on the show. We gotta get him on the show.
We're not gonna have that Tampa guy on the show anytime soon.
No. We gotta get him on the show. Like, that's gotta happen. That has to happen.
You gonna tell him about his ears?
I'm gonna be like, you know, does your mom have big ears or like what's the deal?
All right, Andrew, listen
just
up.
Just gonna ask him some questions, that's all. Christmas spirit, man.
So, we talked about Dare Ogunbowale. There's another guy on Sunday that didn't leave me super happy, and it's pretty uncharacteristic of him. I'll say that, because he's been solid. He's been a piece for a little while now. That's Jordan Whitehead. He had a pretty poor performance on Sunday. I mean, given what a reliable player he's already been for our defense, he really just struggled in coverage. Like, he was all over the place. He had one holding penalty in the first half, and he did finish the day with, like, 8 tackles, I believe, which led the defense. But
9 led the defense.
For Jordan Whitehead, just very uncharacteristic of him. And I'm sure he'll rebound, which is what's important. You want to see how he can bounce back next week.
Yep.
But overall, not that great of a performance from number 31, which is sucks to see because I like him a lot.
Jordan Whitehead didn't play well. Andrew Adams, I thought, didn't play well. Yeah. And Carlton Davis didn't really play well. Sean Murphy Bunting had a solid game. I thought Jamel Dean had a decent game besides that one pass interference call. You know who I thought was a very underrated piece that I thought played really well? I thought it was Ndamukong Suh. I thought Ndamukong Suh did a really good job of just pushing the pressure to Brissett and forcing him off his spot. Now, unfortunately, they couldn't capitalize and get the sack, but I felt like he had a very good game. Probably one of his better games of the year, if that's not going to show up on the stat line, because sure, being Johnny on the spot for a fumble recovery is nice, but that doesn't require much actual skill.
Right.
So I think this is one of his better games. I think in a run defense, he was a big impact as well. But yeah, how about, you know, I want to give a shout out here to Jason Pierre-Paul. Jason Pierre-Paul had a quiet game.
Yeah,
and wasn't his best game. He had one total tackle and played, I believe, 84 snaps or something like that. And it didn't matter because the one play he made was the play. On 4th and 2 at midfield, when the Colts went for it, he was the guy who batted the ball right down into Brissett's hands, and that was that. It ended the game. He's the guy who made the play. So after all of his shortcomings in the game, he ultimately made the clutch play to save the game. Because obviously you don't know if that pass was going to be complete, but you'd rather see it batted down anyway than actually see if it's going to be complete or not. So great play by him. Just want to give him a quick shout out there. And just another thing, just resiliency from this Buccaneers team.
Absolutely. For them to stay in it as long as they did and ultimately come back and win it. Like I said,
and also shout out to Matt Gay.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a kick. Did not miss a kick.
One of the things that we had on the weekly checklist was Matt Gay's got to continue to make his kicks, and that's what he went out there and did. So big shout out to him. Rookie still coming back and firing off as best as ever. Excuse me. I kind of got fumbled on myself on that one, getting ahead of myself in my head. But yeah, shout out to both of those guys, JPP in particular, because while he did have a very quiet game for his standard, and he also had the 2 offsides penalties, which you don't see from Jason Pierre-Paul quite a bit, he was able to pull it together and make that play at the end. So good performance by those guys and everyone else that we have talked about up until this point. Now, before we wrap up and get out of here, we've told you guys, normally, you can send us a question. If you have something to say and you want to be on the show, just let us know. Send us a DM on any of our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
It sounded so intimidating.
Yeah?
If you have something to say, just let us know.
Say it! We'll talk about it on the show. I got to let them know.
Open your mouth and say it.
You can also send us an email at cannonfirepodcast@gmail.com. But the reason I bring this up is because, Evan, we did get a question this week.
All right.
So, this question has to do with Jameis Winston. We'll talk about this.
Of course it does.
And then we'll close out the show. Comes from our buddy Robbie Leary 98 on Instagram, and he asks us this. If next year the Bucs have Jameis and they make the wild card with him playing the way that he is now, do you trust him to get us a Super Bowl trophy? So, in other words, do you trust Jameis to have 4 great games in a row where the pressure is at his highest? Now, before we kind of jump in and answer that, I'm going to take that last part. For him to have 4 great games in a row, I'm not saying that quarterbacks who go to the playoffs don't always have that, but there's been quite a few times where in the playoffs, a quarterback has been led to a victory by his defense, which is what we've seen happen to Jameis a few times this week. So there's a lot of factors that would have to go into play if the Buccaneers this time next year we're in a wild card position.
A lot of factors.
But, yeah. Evan, do you trust Jameis Winston to win us a Super Bowl?
See, tough thing is just what you said. There's, especially winning a Super Bowl, let alone making the playoffs, winning a playoff game.
Right.
There's so much that goes into that. And you point out, you know, a lot of the times, you know, not every quarterback's not going to have a fantastic game. You know, Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? Nick Foles, the first game in the divisional round versus the Falcons. The Falcons, you know, didn't score in the red zone with seconds left. That was it. I believe the Eagles won 16-10 or something. Foles didn't play well at all, but he got lifted up by his defense. Does Jameis Winston need to play 4 perfect games? No, because if you're going to the playoffs, that means that the rest of your team is good enough.
Yeah.
However, at this point, and you're saying that basically if he has another season like he has now, I don't know if he has the same season with he's throwing 23 interceptions but a ton of touchdowns. I don't know how you can trust him in the playoffs like that. Obviously, I'm not saying bench him. Like, obviously, no, because like I said, he's going to give you the best shot to win. But in the playoffs, it's just that one interception and the two interceptions, it's killer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a wild card team, you're going to be on the road, right? I mean, he indicated wild card pretty much. So, you know, you're going to be on the road. You know, you throw two interceptions on the road. Man, that's in a playoff game, it's hard to overcome. So, right. Does he have to play perfect? No. But can he play perfect for four straight games right now? The answer is no. If, obviously, he comes back next year and throws 35 touchdowns and 16 interceptions and, you know, barely any fumbles and it's really limited to turnovers, then I'll say, yeah, you know, you might be able to get four solid to perfect games out of Jameis Winston and win a Super Bowl. But right now, I'd have to say no.
Okay. I'll agree with you. I'll go out here and say that I do agree with you. For him to be held to a standard to play four perfect games in a row, especially in the playoffs, a brand new atmosphere for him, something he's never been a part of in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something that nobody on this roster has been a part of in the NFL. Right. Well, nobody that's been drafted, of course. Like Shaq Barrett, I think he was on a Super Bowl team and stuff like that with the Broncos. But
no, but what you said, it's almost unfair to expect him to go out there and have four perfect games because, of course, there's so many different variables. The Bucs defense is playing well enough to lead them to a few wins that season. That's always a factor.
He could play a perfect game, but if the Bucs defense takes a crap, Jameis Winston could throw four touchdowns and no interceptions. But if the Bucs defense allows five touchdowns, guess what? You lose 35-28.
And that's exactly what we've seen happen in the past with this Bucs team, is the Bucs defense does not play well enough to cover Jameis Winston, give him some ground, and he has a great stat line day, four touchdowns, zero interceptions, and they end up losing the game anyway. So many factors and variables come into that, but both me and Evan will say that we do not agree that he can put together a string of games like that, at least right now. Of course, that's a whole year from now. We're talking hypothetical, so we just have to see what the future holds. But as of right now, we're focused on three wins in a row, baby, and it feels damn good. But thank you, Robbie Leary, for your question. And if you guys have any questions or any statements you want to make, send us a recorded message, send us a text message, whatever it may be. Find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and cannonfirepodcast@gmail.com, and we will bring it up on the show. But ladies and gentlemen, I think that's just about going to do it for this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Thank you so much for listening on all of our outlets or watching with video on YouTube and, of course, BucsReport.com. You can find the show on social media. I just told you how to do it. I'm going to tell you again. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. You can just find it by searching the name. Now, every single week, I have to give a special shout-out to our sponsors at Pinecrest Printing and Signs because these guys are the best in the business at what they do, and what they do is actually pretty nice. They hook you up. If you have an image for your business, they're going to make sure it can happen. They do everything. Stickers. Start small. Stickers, banners, posters, whatever it may be. If you want to move into apparel, they do t-shirts, hats, socks, shorts. I mean, if you want to do the long-sleeve shirt, get a hoodie action in there, go for it. And if you really, really want to roll out the red package for your business, get a vehicle wrap. They're going to make sure it gets done for you. They can do anything and everything that you have in mind. And they've been helping us out with it over here at CFP as well. If you're watching our video, of course, you can see on your screen right now some official Cannon Fire Podcast merchandise. All thanks to our friends at Pinecrest Printing and Signs. They've been helping out the Tampa Bay area since 2001. You can give them a call at 813-684-5444. Or you can check out the website at pinecrestprinting.com. You can follow myself on Instagram and Twitter at Redicus. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. And of course, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram and Twitter at BucksWave and Twitter at EvanNFL. Evan, any last thoughts, my man?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Let the, you know. I know there's some questions about whether Winston will play or not on Sunday. I'd say it's likely. But obviously, we'll know more on the Thursday show when we come to you guys again. So that's why we didn't really touch on it too much, because right now it's just a lot up in the air. So Would say it's likely, but Bruce Arians also did say they may consider signing another quarterback this week, which would indicate that maybe there is some doubt that he plays. So we'll see if he practices. Bruce Arians said he shouldn't be that limited. Maybe, you know, on the injury report, he might show up as limited participation. But other than that, I would expect another Russian roulette game on Sunday.
Time to spin the chamber. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. As Evan said, we will talk to you on the Thursday game preview show as we go over next Sunday's matchup against the Detroit Lions. I am Rhett Matthew, signing off for Evan Wanish, and we will talk to you guys next time. As always, go Bucks.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.